With the slaying of the 300 at Thermopylae, it began. It didn't end at Ford's Theater. It began. It didn't end at Pearl Harbor. It began. It didn't end on 9/11. It began. And here and now, you arrogant and ignorant, evil and foolish, traitors and enemies, foreign and domestic, nothing is ended. You have awakened the American giant and filled us with terrible resolve. Your masks won't silence us. Your riots don't scare us. You're not as disciplined as the British. You're not as organized as the Nazis. You're not as brutal as ISIS. We beat them all. Freedom is never given. It is earned. It is won. It is fought for. It is taken. So take it. Every beyond belief. Now white-haired warriors save the world from Hitler, Satan's sock puppet, initiating Israel's scriptural statehood in a day, invading apocalypse, and extinction-level end times. But Nephilim never sleep, and now their nanobots needle us neurologically, while our prostituted Praetorian Guard pulls pimped, pusher, pedo puppet strings, and our military mRNA mass murders. The police prosecute those they should protect. Time to ante up and kick in like the men of the 54th. Be like Baguette, who, while hanging from his chute, shot a strafing Zero pilot between the eyes with his pistol. Stand like Shugart and Gordon, who thrice asked, then went willing to their deaths and bought Durant's life with their own. Rise like Rick Rescorla, who heeled out of the Iatrang Valley of Death to die, saving hundreds on 9/11. The collapse is commenced, the cull begun, but so has the crucibling, and crucify means to magnify a thousand times. So fade out or warrior up. I'll see you fortunate few, we band of brothers, on the beach. Conceived and raped, orphaned and adopted, claimed by Christians, initiated by indigenous, tribally trained, martial arts mastered, PSYOPs and special forces served, decades of duty in DEA and DIA, intelligence inducted, deep state betrayed, Yeshua saved, dedicated to Republic rescue, American exceptionalism, and redemption by God's grace. I'm Jeff Prather, and this is the Prather Point.
Satellite phones have been wiped out globally because of the supply chain collapse and war in Europe. But a truly amazing new option has emerged, the BiviStick, which allows you to send and receive text messages using almost any mobile device without relying on cell towers at all. In a world where war, riots, or a power grid failure can happen literally at any time, the BiviStick and its two-way satellite messaging gives you the power to reach loved ones, to send emergency messages, or request a rescue. And to use this device, you do not have to register your name, and you don't need to turn on location services or reveal your geographic location. The battery life is several days in duration, and you can easily recharge it using a small portable power bank. There are only about 20,000 BiviSticks that will be available in America this year. Get yours now while they're still available at SAT123.com. That's SAT123.com.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
Brother and sister veterans here today, saying thanks for coming, we really appreciate it. And you are most welcome for our service. American exceptionalism is based on America's exceptional love of life and freedom. More than anything else, that's what makes us different. We love American freedom so much that we will send our sons and daughters out to fight, kill, and die for. We love freedom and life so much because of our Judeo-Christian native values that we will send our sons and daughters out on foreign soil to fight, kill, and die for it. And after we have won, and we always win when we are turned loose, because there is nothing the world has ever seen like the American warrior. And young men like Drew are proving that with ISIS right now. I don't know if you know, but ISIS is dying, finally. But after we have freed that country, we do something that no other country in the history of the world has ever done. We give it back. And no one except Americans have ever done that before.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Prather. This is the Prather Point. I want to wish you a sacred and solemn Memorial Monday coming up, and also remind you that it is Pentecost or Shavuot. And so this is a very sacred and solemn holiday weekend coming up, and I hope you will honor and pray for both. So first, a Memorial Day is not Veterans Day. That speech that you saw there is from Veterans Day, but it's the closest clip I have to that. Memorial Day is to remember our fallen warriors and the sacrifice that they gave. And that's very important to remember. And that's my opening monologue there, talking about Baguette, who was a World War II Army Air Corps pilot, shot down parachuting and still was able to shoot a Zero pilot between the eyes, literally. Truth is always more amazing than fiction. It's true. You can look it up. Shugart and Gordon, of course, were the first Medal of Honor recipients posthumously after Vietnam, part of Special Forces Operation Detachment Delta, Delta Force Combat Applications Group, who thrice asked to go to their death to rescue Mike Durant, the Task Force 160 helicopter pilot. If you've seen Black Hawk Down or you're familiar with Operation Gothic Serpent, then you know who they are. They are legends. And Rick Wiskorla, you may have seen or read We Were Soldiers Once, and Young was at that fight and got all of his people out on 9/11. So there is a great history and heritage of American heroism and warriorship. And that comes from our Judeo-Christian native heritage that makes us love life and freedom so much. And the Judeo is, of course, the Ten Commandments, although Moshe and Moses couldn't get the original ones down the mountain. And then, of course, there are the two Christic commandments taken from Deuteronomy and Numbers. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. This is what's in the mezuzah on the arch of the doorways in Jewish homes. It's in my home. The Lord your God is one. Love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul. And then Yeshua adds to that, and love your neighbor as yourself, because that is first the orientation to God, which then gives you the correct orientation to man. And then the native, which gets short shrift, the North American native, is never harm the children, and everything is born of woman, which are particularly important today as the demonic demigods infiltrate the godless America of our fallen republic. So this is a very important weekend to pray and honor and gather your family together. And I hope tonight at Shabbat, at sundown, you will gather your family and say prayers. You can say the Shabbat prayers with your family and take some rest and give some time to God, and also honor all of our fallen warriors that have given their life for freedom. And it's important to note the beginning of Memorial Day. And Memorial Day, we thought, began in 1868 at the end of the Civil War. But recent documents, if you take a look at this earliest Memorial Day ceremonies, was held by freed African-American slaves. This is rather new, from 1865. And it's very important to see that when the slaves were freed, they became warriors. The opposite of a warrior is a slave. A slave gives you their lives, their freedom, their possessions, their wife, their children. A warrior says, nope, we're going to have to fight for it, and I'm willing to kill for it, and I'm willing to die for it. The difference between a warrior and a slave is huge. And so when these slaves were freed, they became warriors. They signed up as Union soldiers, even on the threat of death. And after the war, even more importantly, when freedom won out over slavery, because God says life and freedom is good, and good is intentional help, and death and slavery is bad, and bad and evil is intentional harm, and the warrior is the human line in the sand between these things. After that, they decided to hold a memorial at a racetrack in Charleston, South Carolina, for their fallen white brother veterans, because they were no longer slaves. They were willing to fight, kill, and die for their freedom alongside their white brethren, and they wanted to honor their fallen white brethren with a procession. Now, they call it a parade, but I call it a procession. I differentiate between a parade, which is outer-focused, and a procession, which is inner-focused, and ritual, which is outer-focused, and ceremony, which is inwardly-focused. The kingdom of God is within, and inner technologies are what Judeo-Christian and Native values are really about. Because as creatures of the Creator in the creation, we are always intrinsically going to be more sophisticated than any creation that we creatures in the creation of the Creator create. That is, we are always going to be more sophisticated than a microscope or telescope. And if we tune ourselves, we will get better results. That's what the Ten Commandments are about. That's what the two Christic commandments are about. That's what the two Atachanas commandments are about. Of course, the centerpiece of that is Christic. Yeshua is HaMashiach. Jesus is the Christ. But the other two bookends of that are very important to see where we came from and where we are going. And having lost that is why we are at where we are at today. That our republic is fallen. Our country is godless, filled with demonic demigods. And our military is cuckolded. And our cops are gelded, and our public schools are corrupted, and our churches are sold out as well. And so this is a weekend time to remember that. And it's extraordinary because when these Black freed slaves became soldier warriors, that changed everything. There's a great scene in the old Magnificent Seven when the Mexicans, they're really Yaqui Indians, that's not really told because it's ethnocentrism, but they fight back for their freedom the first time. And there's just a little scene after the first fight when they stand up a little taller. And they like, even though it's been terrible combat, they love the feeling of freedom. And when I teach lady self-defense courses, fight back, as they start doing it, they start feeling good and laughing. I'm like, that's what freedom feels like. But you got to be willing to fight, kill, and die for it. And so it's extraordinary that the racetrack brought about a race procession of Black warriors for fallen white soldiers. And that is really the beginning of Memorial Day. And that is so important to realize, because history is written by the victors and controlled by the tyrants. And you really have to do your homework. But if you study history and you study scripture, you can see where we have been, what our history and heritage is, and therefore where we are going. So for example, I host events, webinars called Calculating the Coming Collapse. And in August, I'll have another one Kinetics in the Coming Collapse. And so I'm saying very clearly, it's all going to collapse. If you study history, you see empires last about 250 to 275 years. We're right there. If you study scripture, you'll know with the activation of Israel in a day, then end times are activated, as in Revelation, as in Daniel. And so you need to prepare for all of that. But the lies that are being told, for example, the endless stories about mistreatment of blacks, and there has certainly been terrible sins and crimes and murders and atrocities and abominations committed against blacks and all peoples, by all peoples as well. But the now, the, what is happening now is through the seduction of evil, through oppression, obsession, infection, infestation, and leads to possession. Now we're seeing a lot of black on white, black on Asian crime, because they have lost their way in inner cities, not all by any means. And the military is the most integrated part, and I just of our society. And I just had on a really sharp black father with indigenous daughter telling their story, which was really important. But today that story is not being told by the propaganda press at all. And there's this great clip from Glory, which is a great movie. This is a great time to watch it Memorial Day with your family. My longer seminars, I'll show clips from movies. And this is where the 54th Massachusetts, the first colored regiment, is formed. They're not being allowed to fight because no one wants to allow them to have weapons and to read, because that is dangerous. Then they can't control them. That's exactly what's happening in our public schools and inner cities today. And there's a conflict here with white soldiers, which makes Denzel Washington then strike back at his own kind. My Apache teacher was beaten and eventually died from other Apaches. Sitting Bull was killed by other Lakota. So was Tatunke Witko, Crazy Horse. And this is the generational curse that always happens. But you'll see Morgan Freeman here, the Sergeant Major, intervene first between the white and black soldiers, and then between the two black soldiers turning on each other, the one a slave, an illiterate slave, the other a freed man, and changing and making a difference and explaining what it really means to be a warrior and to be a human being. Take a look at this.
The men dying up that road.
And it wouldn't be nothing but Rebs dying if they let the 54th in it.
Listen. As you were.
You men move on.
Stripes on a nigger. It's like tits on a bull.
You're looking at a higher rank, Corporal. And you'll obey and you'll like it.
Make me. I'll make you.
Oh, sorry.
What the hell is going on here?
You.
Yes, you. What's your name? I'm putting you up on charge.
Oh, there ain't no calls for that, sir.
What's that, Sergeant?
Well, I mean, it's just a soldier's fight, sir.
All right, you men move along.
Go, step, forward, march!
Move it!
You men get back to work.
See you down
back to work! Let's go!
We'll see you again.
Good dig a latrine.
Let's drum a banjo, boy. Come on.
I've got the guard. Let me use your looking glass. Thank you.
Yeah, button up that collar. Suck in that gut. Tuck in them big black lips. Lighten your skin. Shrink up that nose.
I don't have to listen to this.
Where you going, boy?
Let me buy.
Let you buy? Let you buy. Let me tell you something, boy. You can march like the white man. You can talk like him. You can learn his songs. You can even wear his suits, but you ain't never gonna be nothing to him but an ugly-ass chimp in a blue suit. Oh, you don't like that, do you?
No.
Well, what we gonna do about it? You want to fight me, boy? Huh? What you gonna do about it? You want to fight me, don't you? Don't you?
Come on, Nick.
All right.
Hey, get your hands off me, Grave Digger.
Oh, God damn it. Does the whole world got a stump in your face?
Nigga, you better get your hands off me.
Ain't no niggas around here, you hear me?
Oh, I see. So the white man give you a couple of stripes. Next thing you know, you hollering, ordering everybody around like you the master himself. Nigga, you ain't nothing but the white man's dog.
What are you? So full of hate, you just want to go out and fight everybody. Because you've been whipped and chased by hounds. Well, that might not be living, but it sure as hell ain't dying. And dying's what these white boys been doing for going on 3 years now. Dying by the thousands. Dying for you, fool. I know, because I dug the graves. And all the time I'm digging, I'm asking myself when, oh Lord, is going to be our time. Well, time's coming when we're going to have to ante up. Ante up and kick in like men. Like men!
You watch who you call a nigger. If any niggers around here, it's you.
Smart mouth, stupid ass, swamp running nigger. If you ain't careful, that's all you ever gonna be. You men going about your business.
When it came out, just had left active duty at that time. And so you see the white supremacist narrative where initially the inexperienced, unblooded soldier wants to confront the blooded white soldiers, and they have just come back from combat or going back into combat. From that, he then turns on his own folk. That's what always is happening. That's what we see over and over happening constantly. This movie probably wouldn't be made today because it's using the nigger word, spick, gook, whatever. The words are used to dehumanize other human beings, which should never be done. And even if you're fighting someone, you should always respect their humanity. Of course, right now they're not respecting Russian humanity, they are dehumanizing. So it's easier to torture and kill and murder those you dehumanize, just like if you put something over their head or you turn them around or you get farther away, it becomes easier and easier. I actually think we should show more violence. Real violence is very horrible, not the stylized movie violence that everyone shows. But Morgan Freeman, the sergeant major, intervenes between the white and black soldiers, then he intervenes and stops the white supremacist script that is still being perpetrated today by the deep state, the DOJ, Pedo Joe. If you ain't black, you ain't black. If you don't vote for me, the FBI supporting Azov Nazis while saying American veterans and Christians and PTA moms are the white racist supremacists. There has always been racism. There will always be racism, but that is not a major factor today. And of course, the party of racism was the Democratic Party, not the Republican Party. The Ku Klux Klan, Senator Robert Byrd was a grand cyclops, Hillary Clinton's mentor. You see this not happening because Morgan Freeman intervenes and says, hey, these guys have been dying. They are warriors. They will fight, kill, and die for their freedom and our freedom. American is on display there. And he says, when is our turn? Our turn's coming up now, and we got to be anteing up and kicking in. This is reconnect there. Am I back? I finally got my internet fixed. I don't know if that was on my end or Brighton's end, but of course there's going to be a lot more electronic interference, and you've got to orient from God to know how to then to orient to your fellow man and woman. That is essential in that. And this clip from Glory really shows that so well, so excellently. And I wanted to slow down because as we come up on the weekend, the Republic is still fallen. Everything is still falling apart. Usually I'm pretty breathless and quick about the latest. And I'm not spending a lot of time talking about the border because I've spent so much time on the border. I worked the border for over a decade. I've been flying over the border and into Mexican airspace. I've worked on the border. I've made arrests right at the border where Mexican drug traffickers still thought they were in Mexico, but they were just on the American side and we'd swoop in and arrest them. I've gone into the tunnels under the border. I've worked cross-border operations. So the border is no really new surprise. There's a lot of people breathlessly talking about the border. Some great folks, my fellow Special Forces soldiers, Pete Chambers and Michael Yon, for example. And it is terrible, but the border is simply being formalized now and moved by the global cabal, which is now, I assess, our major enemy, even more so than China, while I assess Russia basically as an ally. And the border is really not Arizona, Mexico, Texas, Mexico, and California, Mexico anymore. Those are borderless states now. I am sad to say that, but that is really the truth. It's Tex-Mexico, it's Tijuana, it's Arizona. The border is farther up and moved because the global cabal doesn't want borderless borders. They want borderless corporate cartel regions. And the criminal cartels are controlling those borders in league with the corporate cartels of Pfizer, AstraZeneca, and Moderna. So I'm not really spending a lot of time on that, but the main product now is people. It was drugs, weapons, and people, and now it's really people because America and Europe are awash in drugs. But as drugs are chemical slavery, human trafficking is human slavery. It has returned, and we have to oppose that. But it's got to be from the ground up. And I'll talk more about that on this upcoming Memorial Day and Shavuot Pentecost right after this break. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point. Right back with you after this.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now, post your videos today, and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Prather. This is the Prather Point. Sorry for that outage, but there's going to be a lot more electromagnetic interference, and you're going to have to be able to team up and neighbor up. That's why I'm always encouraging you to go to jeffreyprather.com, join Team America at jeffreyprather.com. If you're not in the United States, you can go to jeffreyprather.com and join Team Global Freedom, and that's simply Americans or others relying on God and each other. Not on the corrupt government in D.C., just like we stopped relying on the corrupt government in Britain. Very, very important. But I want to continue to talk about this victimization. And I could be called myself a victim because the deep state came after me, socially crucified me. But that was actually crucibling me. And we've seen that this past week with the FBI whistleblowers, which I'll talk about in a little bit, because the FBI is the storefront of the CIA, and the CIA is the storefront of the intelligence community, and the intelligence community is the storefront of the deep state, which is part of the global cabal, which is really trying to run the world through Pilgrim Society, Bilderberg having their meetings, WEF, World Economic Forum, United Nations, World Health Organization, WHO, all of that happening. But that can't stand to God's truth and power. Power is not force. They only have force. Power really comes from God. But from this 54th Massachusetts, there's other great lessons to glean here. And there's another great scene from this where even though they've finally been given weapons, and that's how you can tell who a warrior is, he's the guy with the weapons. I often ask that question, how do you tell who the warrior is? And people are like, oh, he stands up straight, he's nice. Well, no, he's the guy with weapons. In certain cultures, such as the samurai in Japan or in Europe, the knights, you were only allowed to have weapons if you were a warrior class. And of course, the samurai became tax collectors. Really, they were not. That's why I study ninjutsu, which is the alternative culture to that. And in America, while America chose God in 1607, I just had the 1607 Project on my show here. God chose Israel, but America chose God. But when I was looking at that, I was like, yeah, the Pilgrims in 1607 chose God, proclaimed America for God, The tribes had done that long ago. The Wampanoag, the people of dawn's early light, who greeted and saved the pilgrims, had chosen God as well and consecrated the ground to God already here. They had already abandoned the ziggurats and human sacrifices and child sacrifices that were still going on in Central and South America, the Indian cultures that still chose gold, while North American tribal cultures had abandoned all that. They did not want the gold. They used silver, still do today, and turquoise, the bluestone. And I learned this from my Apache Inde Shiwoye grandfather, elder, who taught me these things, that they had already left these corrupted civilizations. Cahokia, in Mississippi, the great mounds that are larger than the Egyptian pyramids had already fallen and left that. So the ground had already been prepared here as well. But with the founding of the country, there was still the stain and sin of slavery. And they just knew they would address that later. They couldn't get together first. It was important to start the country. And divine providence allowed them to defeat the British, the greatest army in the world. And then the Civil War comes about. And the Civil War is the worst type of war because it's when a nation fights itself. But it's very important not to patronize warriors. And this is a great scene about not patronizing anybody from Glory. Take a look at this.
.57 caliber, Enfield rifle musket.
Best in the world here, boy.
Shot. 1-1-9-1-1.
Woo-wee.
Think you can handle that, boy?
I can knock something down with this.
Trip. 1-2-1-9-2. Pop it. 1-2-1-8-6. Jefferson.
Yes, sir.
1-2.
Robert. Finally, there's a rumor going around that we're to be used only for manual labor. I can't believe the kind of things we hear. It's not true, is it? I mean, about not being allowed to fight. The men are all living for that day. I know I am.
Don't bother about him. He's just ignorant.
Excuse me.
Ha 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 ha!
Do that again.
One dime you can't do.
Dime on each of you.
I want money. That's
a bet.
Go on, boy.
Go ahead, boy.
Go ahead, Shaq. That's a dime on each of you.
Attention, company! Attention, company!
As you were. Front and center. You're a good shot, Private.
Thank you, sir. Squirrel hunting.
You ever killed a man?
No, sir.
But you're handy with a gun.
Yes, sir.
Reload. Faster! Discharge your weapon. Do it!
Now do it again, only this time, I want it done quickly. A good man can fire 3 aim shots in a minute.
Major Forbes, give me a Colt revolver.
What?
Your gun. Give it to me. Faster. Reload. Quickly. Faster. Load. Faster! Do it! Do it! Teach them properly, Major.
Yes.
Longtime firearms instructor. I became a federal firearms instructor for DEA back in 1993. I've literally taught tens of thousands in classes as big as 600, not firearms, but combatives, but ran lots of ranges. And it's a great scene because the Colonel Shaw, who died leading his men at Fort Wagner, who led from the front and gave his life, refuses to patronize them. And patronization is something we see all throughout culture today. You're black, you're disabled, you're female, you're whatever. So we've got to do special standards for you. You are a victim as opposed to a survivor. And that's a great scene because later on, that soldier does not drop his charging handle under the pressure of combat. He actually shoots a Confederate soldier, I think with the charging rod still in the weapon. And we're seeing this script played out of victimization and of fake news and fake racial hatred and division over and over and over. And the deep state and the left and all the rhinos, that's all they have left to do. And they will continue to roll out this script. But if you study history and you study scripture, you'll see that this is not really true at all. And then you can start to identify, for example, earlier this week, there was the supposed Nazi ramming the White House, who is now being charged with kidnapping and trying to murder Pedo Joe, the fake president. Take a look at this clip real quick.
Police say a man in a U-Haul truck intentionally rammed security barriers near the White House. Now, that man has been charged with threatening to kill, kidnap, or harm the president, vice president, or their family. Video shows investigators at the scene inspecting a Nazi flag with a swastika, a black backpack, a roll of duct tape, a notebook, and other items the suspect apparently had with him.
So it is such an absurd. They lay out the Nazi flag. Where else have you seen? That's not how you collect evidence. I've collected evidence from hundreds of crime scenes. as a federal special agent. You photograph it, you call somebody in, you mark it, you put it in the evidence bag. But where have we seen evidence laid out like this before? Oh yeah, Mar-a-Lago by the FBI for the complicit and complacent fake news, laying out the flag that turns out was bought online. He's not an American citizen, he's illegal, and he is Indian. He is a man of color. But this is their desperation because these whistleblowers are now coming forward. Garrett O'Boyle, Army combat veteran from Iraq and Afghanistan, friend and Allen, Marines as well. This is very, very important. This is a huge inflection point because the storefront of the deep state has whistleblowers. Remember, there was a whistleblower coming forward in the seventh floor headquarters inside an FBI headquarters meeting saying, hey, they got their cell phones in here. That means the whistleblower was inside the meeting. These are senior agents coming forward, and these are not the first special agents to come forward. And I am honored and proud to have taken some credit in providing an example of this, because 15 years ago, I was saying, hey, the Attorney General's lying, the DOJ's lying, the DEA's lying, they're changing documents, they're lying about me. I was never charged, I was never convicted, but it was a much more lonely voice back now then, and now we're seeing more and more coming forward, and we're also seeing whistleblowers coming forward about Nord Stream pipeline. And so we see these false narratives. So this was a U-Haul truck, nothing in it, ramming repeatedly a gate nowhere near getting to the president. But this is, again, so that the deep state, the FBI, which is the CIA, which is the intelligence community, which is the deep state, which is part of the global cabal, can then bring more and more tyranny and repression. But as more repression builds, more resistance builds. That's a rule of unconventional warfare. And we also saw the 60,000 pounds of ammonium nitrate disappear. As a reminder, Timothy McVeigh blew up the Oklahoma City Federal Building with 4,500 pounds. And they're saying it leaked out of the bottom of a car and the seals on the rail car were still sealed. No, this is the deep state running off with the ammonium nitrate. They're probably going to hit multiple nuclear facilities. We have about 52 to 54 in the United States. Remember, the FBI just did nuclear radiation training in Houston. There are facilities in Houston. Houston in Texas is still a free state, so that's why they're running kinetic operations, and they will run more false flag kinetic operations in states like Texas and Florida and Oklahoma and Louisiana and Missouri because they don't hold that ground as well. So it's very clear. And McVeigh used a Ryder truck, I believe, but who else has used U-Haul trucks? Well, take a look at this clip of Patriot Front using a U-Haul truck last year in Idaho.
It appears the camera is strapped to one of the men who is inside the U-Haul. Once they are detained, you can hear someone telling the group what they should tell police.
The only thing, the name, date of birth, you're an activist, peaceably assembled. The only thing you tell them.
The video claims police did not do a thorough search of the group, which is why one of the activists still had a camera. Then it appears to show some of the men on their way to jail.
Hello and welcome to the entrance to what I can presume is county jail.
The remainder of the video shows the group getting out of jail. At one point, the man who looks like the leader of the group, identified as Thomas Rousseau, makes comments about there being no evidence against them. Now, we have made public...
This is hilarious to me because we're supposed to believe that after these guys have been flex-cuffed and put in a paddy wagon, that a cop misses a GoPro video camera on the guy's chest and they're allowed to continue to film. No, this is clearly a deep state false flag operation being run by the FBI. If you look at the other videos of the Idaho situation, you can see a guy in the back in plain clothes. He's the case officer in CIA terms, or he's the tactical agent handler in DIA terms, running the whole operation, the whole false flag. And this is the fake history that I am trying to counter with real and true history. And also take a look at this photograph from that event where they did unmask one of the FBI run Patriot Front and look on the megaphone. They didn't do good tradecraft, did OPSEC. They forgot to take the FBI sticker off the megaphone that they had issued. Now you see in Ohio and stuff, the Patriot Front, now they have taken those off. But take a quick look and listen to this next clip where this week the FBI whistleblowers were being interviewed. And this Democratic Connolly, demonic Democratic Connolly, wants to make sure that he clears the Congress of any mention of the deep state and Ukraine and the plot to continue to coup America. Look at this.
I must say, my friend from California, I don't know where this concern for whistleblowers and protecting whistleblowers was in the Ukraine episode in that perfect phone call Donald Trump had with President Zelensky, in which a whistleblower, Colonel Vindman, was in fact subsequently punished for reporting on that phone call, which led to the impeachment of the President of the United States. So wouldn't it be nice if we were consistent on our concerns about whistleblowers?
Would the gentleman
yield? No, I will not. Mr. Leavitt, yes, I have 5 minutes and I haven't got time. Mr. Leavitt, you represent an organization, you're president of the organization called Empower Oversight, is that correct?
Yes.
And Empower Oversight represents an FBI agent or a former FBI agent, Mr. George Hill, whom we heard from a little earlier.
Well, no, actually. Mr. Hill did not have counsel for his transcribed interview, so my partner, Jason Foster, agreed to sit in on his interview just for procedural.
Okay, so you were sort of like a surrogate counsel, but not formally? You have no formal relationship with Mr. Hill?
Correct.
And but why did you choose to help him in a deposition?
Well, I didn't. Again, my partner, Jason Foster, we were informed that he didn't have any counsel, and we both of us have experience sitting in many congressional transcribed interviews.
And your view is he is also a valid whistleblower?
Again, he's not my client. I can't speak to his claims. I do have the view that going out and, again, the idea attacking someone saying you haven't yet been given the magic wand of whistleblower status, I believe that's inappropriate. I'm not familiar with all of the substance of his personnel actions.
Huh. Well, might it cause you some concern? Let me show some tweets on the screen from Mr. Hill. This one, he had theories about January 6th that it was instigated by the deep state, not by insurrectionists.
You see this plastic tote right here?
Well, to that, but the point here is he goes, well, what about Vindman? Well, Vindman disobeyed his commander-in-chief. He's a traitor. He should have been brought up on charges. But of course, the coup, the deep state is controlling all of that. But he wants to make sure he vindicates Vindman. And then he says, well, what about Ukraine? Anybody who's paying attention knows Ukraine is a total false flag war. It's Ukraine is the first digital country. It is the inflection point for the global cabal. But he wants to get all his talking points in there. And then he shows tweets from Twitter. Twitter is, of course, an intelligence storefront for intelligence collection and for information influence operations, PSYOPs, going out. And he wants to say, well, what's the deep state? The lawyer is good. And the lawyer was with the MSPB, the Merit Service Protection Board. And that's who I went to. Of course, they outed me too. But there's an important inflection point to understand here, because this sharp lawyer has left the Merit Service Protection Board. He is going to the other side to defend the whistleblowers out of the FBI. So the more repression that builds, the more resistance builds as well. And that's what we're seeing here. He goes, well, what's this deep state? And his lawyer is not there to expose the deep state. The lawyer is there to work for his whistleblower clients. And so I'm fine with that, but he doesn't get drawn into that. But you see Connolly, the demonic Democrat, wanting to say, well, yeah, I don't know what the deep state is either. Well, the deep state's not a new term. The deep state double government's a very clear term. It's about the puppets, masters behind the puppets, part of the intelligence community. And it's very, very clear that that's real. But he wants to make sure that the whistleblowers who are railing against the deep state don't expose the deep state. But in doing so, he shows the tweets of Twitter of the FBI guys. And so he is having the Claymore turned around on him again, which is why they had to get Trump off of Twitter. And of course, that then resulted in more resistance, which built all these other platforms, helped build Brighteon TV, Truth Social, all of these platforms. So understand the battle, understand the fight, understand what is good, what is bad, what is evil, what is innocence, what is of God and what is of Satan, and we will win. And remember that on this upcoming Shavuot, Pentecost, Memorial Day. So remember that winning is difficult, demanding, and always expensive. No plan survives first contact. Plans are useless. Planning is invaluable. Develop the situation before it develops you. Our ranks grow daily, as does our resolve. Tyrants always fall. Tyranny inevitably fails. Fear is natural, but courage is decision. Nobody is coming. Neighbor up, team up, and train up. Keep your trusted circle tight. We stand together alone. God has a plan. Us. Thank you very much.